A week solidarity, Bricky Team listener, when the tragic murder of one Australian can stir an outrage that 33,000 Palestinian and non-Australian humanitarian workers' murders could not. With Penny Wong emerging from her uncritical support of Zion to call for a two-state solution with conditions, and with the Palestinian people having no say, no radical call, seeing it has been the policy of governments for decades, even if they had and have no intention of doing anything about it, and settlements and military on the ground making it impossible anyway. Yet her call had the Zionist lobby calling for her head, a capitulation to terrorism, and Dutton accusing the government of leading us into a moral fog on anti-Semitism, whatever that nonsense means. Pro-Palestinian supporters as evil as a mass murderer, equating, as the Zionist lobby alleges, that calling for a people rendered landless and terrorized by trained killers for 75 years to be treated as humans with basic rights is anti-Semitic, as anti the racist philosophy that has overseen the terror and persecution, racism, terror, persecution supported and applauded for 75 years by most of the righteous upholders of liberty, freedom and democracy, including Australia, which still calls the persecutor its ally and the other the terrorist. Persecution, slaughter and destruction so devastating happening under their eyes that the International Red Cross, Red Crescent and Doctors Without Borders, bodies always careful to provide humanitarian aid but not comment on the rights and wrongs, the politics of crises, this week both abandoned that neutrality. Humanity has been all but abandoned in Gaza, the Red Cross Crescent exclaimed. MSF executive Avril Benoit said, it's a slow-motion massacre of people to subject them to the kind of deprivation of food and water that they have been subjected to the past 6 months. Mothers who have given birth in Gaza since the war began are especially vulnerable. Yet, so-called world leaders still tell us Zion represents all that we stand for in the Middle East. A week when bad news on the killing front. A US of the UN of the US of the world big train killer said the nuclear kill machines were running at least 3 years behind schedule, meaning True Blue Aussie won't be able to attack an imminent threat for about 30 years and several hundred trillion dollars later. This AUKUS deal looks better by the day, doesn't it? And good news, big Supremo Anthony Albanese and Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive Richard Moores, the bad guys, assure us True Blue Aussie will have full sovereignty over the train killer machines. So, oh dear, what bad luck. US OB Assistant Secretary for World State Kurt Campbelldust declared that trillions of dollars of our money was an extension of the US OB global train killing machine for when the US OB goes to war with China. If. Adding to honouring the independence US of big Supremo Joe Biden capital also announced True Blue Aussie and Japan would join a defence pact. Thanks for telling us, Joe. Shortly after, Richard and Anthony also informed us, exciting news, True Blue Aussie and Japan are joining a defence pact. Thanks for telling us, Joe. Meanwhile, Anthony told us his socialist solution to caring employers, great corporations, good corporate citizens, not investing enough, not creating enough jobs. We'll do it for them. Socialise your outlays, capitalise your profits, and we'll all be better off. Yet a True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review commentator told us, it's all a bit odd when communist China is left to defend the free market, while the US OB and True Blue Aussie, among others, are preaching the virtues of what was once known as protectionism. Ignoring the fact that communist China is as communist as Anthony's Socialist Party is socialist, what a slight on a brilliant idea. The government funding the capitalist system. But even without being handed the public purse, there are enterprising entrepreneurs prepared to go their own way in providing jobs with cleverly constructed means of achieving that goal. Don't pay them. It saves a heap of money while doing what caring employers just love to do. See as their raison d'etre. Create jobs, provide work. Take dumpling chain Din Tai Fung, for instance. It employed under 30-year-olds on temporary visas who had no idea of their employment rights, and Din Tai Fung just forgot to fill them in, leading to this wonderfully altruistic provider of, creator of employment, being fined $4 million this week for underpaying. Inadvertently underpaying what Her Honour described as a scheme to rob employees. Poor Din Tai Fung, so inadvertent, it kept two records, two sets of books, real time worked and real underpayments, and employment records which conformed to the award pay and conditions. See? Inadvertent. The good news is the public purse will likely never see the $4 million, because Din Tai went into liquidation, the former owner, Dendi Harjanto, has left the country and can't be located, and the chain is now run by a new entity, including a former Din Tai director. Oh, and the employees they so cared about, owed as much as $50,000 each, have never and will never be paid. Poor Din Tai, poor Dendi. What thanks for a brilliant job creation scheme. Oh, and good news, the Phoenix Company laws introduced with such fanfare have still never been used. Now, Santosas the Prophet, Supremo Kevin Galea of Pollution, says we must take action to stop these bloody climate activists delaying the inevitable approval of fossils by using the law, abusing the law, Kevin pointed out, abusing the law. How dare they? Don't they know capitalist law is not there to be abused by non-capitalists? And these anti-progress, anti-True Blue Aussie activists have also been taking full-page ads calling on super funds invested in green fossil and good corporate citizen Woodside with profits to oppose the corporation's climate strategy, primarily more and more gas and coal, as inadequate, and to oppose the re-election of chairperson Richard Gotcha, just because he thinks more and more gas and coal is the answer to climate change, if there is such a thing. Good news on that front yesterday. One of the big super fund investors, Hester, representing health workers, announced it would support Richard's re-election, obviously agreeing with Richard that more and more gas and coal is good for everyone's health. After several full-page ads suggesting Woodside with, well, small quote from a True Blue Aussie Conservation Foundation ad, True Blue Aussie's climate crisis deepens as polluters like Woodside with profits escalate coal and gas production, risking our future. Proving Kevin's and Richard's and Woodside with Supremo Mega Neil before profits point, these people are anti-progress, anti-True Blue Aussie, anti-jobs. Woodside with put them in their place with a perfect riposte. Its own full-page ad telling the true story. Huge letters delivering on our climate targets. Then, Woodside with is determined to thrive through the energy transition for the benefit of our shareholders, our employees, our communities, and our environment. And then a whole page of self-aggrandizement. Note that if this were a four-horse race, for instance, the environment just ran fourth, last, out of a place, out of the money, while shareholders won the race. They're in the money. Normality restored. Separately, Woodside with complained that activist shareholders opposing its climate strategy were ignoring the dozens of investors who support the strategy. Yes, what is your climate strategy, we asked Meg. Well, first and foremost, silence these damn climate activists. Yes, very commendable, but the climate, what about the climate? Oh, it's very good. Very, very good. We're making profits hand over fist. That's why those sensible, responsible investors love our climate strategy, unlike those ignorant, disruptive climate activists. But what about climate change, if there is such a thing? Yes, certainly good point. Very promising. The only change we predict is making even more wonderful profits hand over fist. We plan massive expansion in gas and coal, so I must say the climate has never looked better, apart from the carry-on by those lawless climate activists. But Meg, coal and gas are a huge contributor to climate change, if there is such a thing. And why do you think we're investing billions to develop more and more and more coal and gas? Transition. They are critical to the transition from themselves. Exactly. It's that commitment to addressing the problem that those long-haired, commie, greeny climate activists just can't get through their thick skulls. Thank you, Mick. Pleasure. Tell your listeners, a listener, to buy into Woodside with Big Time. He or she will make a killing. The Modesty of the Week Award, an article about former Socialist Minister Craig Emerson's report into the supermarket duopoly. Headline, Review has struck the right balance. Then three columns extolling its wisdom, its brilliance. Written by Craig Emerson. Craig, your Modesty of the Week Award is on its way. Another ex-socialist minister, serial party brand stacker Adam Somu wrecked democracy, remember him? Who ran for the DLP at the last state election and picked up its only seat. The DLP, the latest reincarnation of the Santa Maria forces which kept Pig Eye and Bob Menzies in government for so many years, ironically arising out of the Labor split, but now Adam has resigned from the DLP because of factional warfare, which to Adam would be anathema. Leaving us to ponder what a split in the DLP would leave, roughly one person in each faction. Naturally, Adam will not resign from his plush upper house seat as a matter of principle. Sorry, Adam, what was that? Oh, the word, principle, Adam, principle. Principle, of course, sums up former US of the UN of the US of the world, big supremo Donald Trample the Poor, victim of Trample the Poor hating judges and prosecutors. The latest, a partisan hack, the biggest partisan hack ever, which for Donald is almost praise. After his honour effectively said, shut your trap and stop denigrating judges and prosecutors or anyone else who was slightly critical of him, really, but Donald's principles shot to the fore when he announced himself as, well, so selfless, he humbly declared, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela, the greatest Nelson Mandela ever, ever. And although we might agree the comparison is so accurate, what disrespect for the Mandela clan, Mandela's grandson, describing Donald's modest claim as laughable and delusional. Laughable and delusional. Donald, what thanks for a humble hero of democracy. Finally, on the US of, Anthony Albanese announced he would spend Honor Train Killer Slaughter and Destruction Day in 12 days. Oh dear, here come all those annual pickies of dear little children in slouch hats and weighed down with medals. Announced he would spend the day at the Kokoda track. Announced not in Washington, but in Canberra. Goodness, we hope Triple Aussie is not getting too big for its boots. Good morning.